Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our passion theme for this evening is Jesus before the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was the highest Jewish court in Israel. It was like the Supreme Court. And on the Sanhedrin were the chief priests, the elders, the teachers of the law. It was a body that consisted of 71 members, including the high priest, Caiaphas. Now, we know that this was not a trial that Jesus was, when Jesus was being tried, this was not a trial to determine his innocence. This was not a trial to seek justice. This was a sham. And there was an agenda to this whole thing. And the agenda was to condemn Jesus, to hand him over to the Roman authorities where he would be crucified. Now, we could go through all the details of the mock trial, the false witnesses, the weak protocol, even the fact that this happened in the middle of the night. But the foundational principle of the whole thing was that it was based in hatred. It was based in hatred for Jesus. Why else would this group of respected men accept the testimony of false witnesses? Why would they hold this court in the middle of the night? Why would they ignore all of their own rules? It's because they hated Jesus and they wanted to do away with him. Certainly, it was God the Father's will that Jesus be sentenced, and so that he would go on to hang on the cross and die for the sins of the world. And so the Father was certainly working through all of this to fulfill his plan, but that doesn't get the Sanhedrin off the hook. I mean, they were willing accomplices in all of this. They were the ones who didn't like Jesus. They were the ones who rejected him. They hated him. Why? Well, it was because he threatened their authority. Authority is kind of a funny thing back then. I mean, the people did not respect the authority of the Roman Empire. They hated the Roman occupation. But they did respect the authority of their own Sanhedrin. They respected the authority of their religious leaders, and that's what that was. I mean, they respected the Pharisees. And what we kind of think of the Pharisees as the bad guys, because Jesus is always having his run-ins with the Pharisees. But they were actually the religious leader. They were the moral people. They were the ones that everybody looked up to. And people listened to what they said. That is, until Jesus came along and they started listening to Jesus instead of their own religious authority. And this challenged their authority, and this couldn't stand according to the Sanhedrin. But there was something even deeper going on beyond the challenge to their authority. And this problem goes back to the Ten Commandments. Last week in an earlier service I mentioned, we're going to be looking at the six essential teachings, the six chief parts of Christian doctrine that are found in Luther's Small Catechism. The Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, confession and absolution, and the Lord's Supper. And each week looking at a different theme from the Passion. So tonight we're looking at the Ten Commandments and Jesus before the Sanhedrin. And as I said, the motivation for the Sanhedrin was for putting Jesus on trial was out of hatred for Jesus. This came from unbelief. It also comes from a fundamental misunderstanding of God and his relationship to people. How does God relate to his people? Is God a loving God who wants to save people? Or is God a taskmaster who is looking at you, watching your every move, ready to pounce and to condemn you when you transgress? See, how we answer that question impacts how we understand the Ten Commandments. Our understanding of God's character impacts how we understand the Ten Commandments. I think oftentimes when we think of that scene at Mount Sinai, I mean, no doubt it was a scary scene. At the end of the whole thing, the people asked Moses to, tell God to stop talking to us, because we're going to die if we're hearing him. He must have been frightening. The whole scene was very frightening up there on Mount Sinai with the fire and the Shekinah cloud and the shaking of the mountain. And I think we often think about that and we imagine God in his booming voice, almost angry. You shall have no other God. Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day. And he just, in our mind, sounds angry. Like he's saying, you better do this or else. Now, obviously, we weren't there. We do know that it was a pretty scary scene there on Mount Sinai. But was God really just calling out his commandments as he was wagging his finger? Now, we don't know what the sound of God's voice is. We have no clue what his voice sounds like. But we do know what he said there on the mountain, because those words are recorded for us in Exodus chapter 20, verse 2. He didn't say, look, you miserable Israelites, I'm giving you my commandments, you better follow them. That's not how he starts it. What does he say before he gives the Ten Commandments? He says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. In other words, God is recounting to the Israelites the greatest act of love and deliverance that he had ever performed to date. This doesn't sound very angry to me. In fact, God took this occasion of giving down the law, giving down the Ten Commandments, to remind the Israelites of what he had done for them. And notice, he says, I am the Lord your God. So they're already his people before he ever utters the first commandment. You see, what we see here is God didn't go into Egypt where they were slaves and go to Moses, hand them the Ten Commandments and say, Moses, give the Ten Commandments to the Israelites. If they agree to follow them, then I will save them. That's not what happened. He saves them first. Then he says, these are my commandments. You are my people. I've called you my people. Now, this is how you live as my people. You see, he gave them the Ten Commandments because they were already his, because he's already shown them tremendous love. And so the Ten Commandments were a way for God's people to respond to the grace that he had already shown to them. The Ten Commandments were their way. The Ten Commandments are our way of responding to God's love, showing him how we love him. Because the Ten Commandments, the law, is an extension of God's heart. It's what he wants from us. And so when we're obedient to his law, we're doing what God wants for us, what's best for us. Sanhedrin didn't have that understanding of the Ten Commandments. They saw God from that first way of understanding. They saw God as angry, vengeful, and eager to condemn people who didn't follow the law. You see, they believed that God's love was something that was based on our performance. They thought of God as looking at them and watching what they were doing, and they thought they were really doing it. And they were burdening the people with the law. All through the New Testament, you see them burdening people with the law and holding the wrath of God over them and asserting the authority of God. And then along comes Jesus, who basically says, that's not what God is like at all. Jesus certainly told the people what they needed to do and how they should live. And Jesus certainly preached and upheld the Ten Commandments. But he also told people that God loves them. He doesn't want to condemn them. Jesus told people that God wants them to be saved, precisely because God loves them so much. The religious leaders got upset with Jesus whenever he would spend time with sinners. He would willingly go to dinner parties hosted by the most notorious of sinners, the tax collector. He would have conversations with prostitutes. He would compliment Gentiles. And he wasn't supposed to do these things. But he did it because he loved them. That wasn't the God that the religious leaders recognized. God was supposed to be angry and condemning. But instead, Jesus said things like, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He said things like, God did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus reveals the truth about God. That God is loving and saving and not eager to condemn. He revealed that we relate to God as sinners saved by grace. Not as anyone who needs to, not as people who need to perform things from me. And the religious leaders immediately branded him as a heretic and a blasphemer because this wasn't the God they knew. That's why they wanted him out of the way. Jesus reveals to us the true understanding of the Ten Commandments. They were given by a God who loves, not love. They were given by a God who wants to save, not condemn. And they were given by a God who has saved. He delivered his people from Egypt out of slavery, and now with Jesus, he delivers us from the slavery of sin. This is how we are to understand the Ten Commandments, because God has loved us and saved us. Now these are the things we do to love him back. And when we fall short, and all of us do, Jesus died on a cross less than 24 hours after facing the Sanhedrin so that we could be forgiven. That is the true character of God. He loves, he forgives, he restores. The true character of God is Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the life everlasting. Amen.